murder by experts. Good evening, friends. This is your host of the Inner Sanctum, welcoming you again through the squeaking door for an hallucinating good time. Why am I smiling? But I always smile when I open the squeaking door on Tuesday nights. You see, each week when I say good evening, I think to myself, a good evening for what? And of course, there's only one answer to that question. A good evening for murder.
Ladies and gentlemen, spontaneous as ever, information please continues on its carefree path. And tonight, our experts are...
Louis Armstrong!
I'm Don Dupay.
Teresa Kennedy Dupay.
J.B. Fisher.
Okay. J.D. Chandler. Special guest star, Eva Tungay.
Hello, everybody.
Brought to you by...
Peace! It's what everyone wants!
Private Danny Chen. N.S. Warrant Officer, First Class, Caleb I. Nelson. Specialist, Adrian G. Mills. First Lieutenant, Ryan K. Anelli.
Last Corporal, Devin A. Snyder. Sergeant Adam Gonzalez, Jr. Master Sergeant Tara R. Brown. Sergeant Joshua J. Robinson. Sergeant Linda L. Pierre. Sergeant Alessandro L. Plutino. Private
Staff
First
Sergeant
Class Army R.
T.
Sinclair.
Curador. Sergeant First Class Tara J. Smith. Lieutenant Florence B. Cho. Specialist Jesse Y. Sandria. Sergeant Simone A. Robinson. Specialist Chrislin.
These are just a few of the people who have died in the war. America's best and brightest, the heart of a generation. How many more will have to die before we end this war?
Corporal Jessica A.
Peace. It's what everyone wants.
Choose peace.
War is over if you want it.
Portland was a small town in the 20s, but it wanted to be a big city. Portland wanted to swing.
She was born in 1935. She never got any traditional school.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
When did she come to Portland?
First census records of her coming to Portland is 1910.
Oh, I'm
and
curious. Who
her
were
her parents? Timothy Tierney and Mary Rickon. And Timothy Tierney was from Ireland. And I also found out on one of the census records that her first marriage was when she was 18. She came to Oregon in 1910 to escape a bad marriage.
Perhaps.
She said she was 38 in 1929. She was actually in her 40s. And I know that it's her because Anna Tierney and Anna Farney are cross-referenced, and one of the lodgers she lived with is Edward Schrader in Northwest Portland on Kearney Street.
And this is probably the old addresses, too.
Right.
They changed.
This is all prior to 19. A woman who felt very insecure about her place in the world. I think she felt insecure about the fact that she had not received any formal schooling. And but she was very smart. And another respect, she was also incredibly naive.
That seems to be a common denominator with murder victims.
Yeah.
She thought that she could tell the police what was going on and they would stop it.
Yeah.
But they were part of it.
She must not have realized the monetary value of what she was digging into. We talked before about how many routes would be needed to distribute the liquor that the police department was distributing out of Central Precinct.
I'll be glad when you did to rescue you. I'll be glad when you did to rescue you. When I brought you into my home, you wouldn't leave my wife alone. I'll be glad when you did to rescue you.
Big cities had booze.
I'll be glad when you did to rescue you. I'll be tickled to death when you leave this earth, you dog. I took you for my friend, and you drank up all my gin.
She was meddling in revenue of thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars and thought she could get away with it.
But he said about $100,000 a month
is
what the city was getting from this liquor ring.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of money in the 1920s.
But the problems that she started causing, that all happened after the affair ended.
Big cities had gangsters.
With William Bruna. She was his informant and the quote private detective, probably starting in the early 20s until the affair ended in 20.
They met in 1916.
William Bruning claims that he met her in 1916 and they knew each other for 5 or 6 years before they actually began the affair, which she claims started in September of 1921. And she says that he pursued her, and of course he claimed that she was the aggressor.
Sure.
Somewhere in the middle was the truth.
Exactly. So she was a confidential informant for him.
I think he got her that little job just to keep her busy, because from what I've read, it's really clear that she wanted more than he was willing to give, and she wanted him to leave his wife. The problem was his wife, former Miss Blanche King, you know, they had 2 children together. He's not going to leave his wife and his 2 young children for some woman that's been married twice already.
Just a smoke. Girlfriend. Is what she was.
Yeah.
Informant is what they called her.
Yeah.
Because that keeps the boss off your ass.
Right.
I had several informants during my time as a police officer and detective, and sometimes they were less than informants and more girlfriends.
Okay, that's good to know. So in 1916, when they met, Prohibition had just started. Mm-hmm. She was active in the presidential campaign that year.
Mm-hmm.
She was part of the Republican Get Out the Vote effort for, I want to say, Charles Evans Hughes was mm-hmm. her.
Well, what do you know about that? Now, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I want to tell y'all that I'm going to do a little practicing this evening on this little Selma trumpet, bless his little heart. Now, wait a minute. Before I swing out, I want to check this little number about Laughing Louie, Laughing Louie. Look out there, gate. Laughing Louie. I'm Laughing Louie. Yeah, man. Now, I'm Laughing Louie. Yes, sir. Ain't no fool. I'm Laughing Louie, boy. Look out.
I've heard 2 different stories. I've heard that she was running for the Rose Festival Queen or in that. But then I also heard she was involved in some kind of a contest for the Fire Queen, for some kind of Fire Festival Queen.
She was trying to get attention. She had her big swimming event.
It was in December.
Year. Right. And they all went swimming in the river. They all said they were going to go swimming in the river, but nobody showed up
right.
except her.
And that says something about her.
Yeah.
She was a determined woman. Yeah. She had a lot of fire. She was feisty.
Yeah.
And apparently in those days, the Rose Festival princesses were not sponsored by the high school, because she was sponsored by the fire department.
The way they did it is every community group would have their candidate. And there was a Japanese Rose Festival candidate, and there was a African-American Rose Festival princess, and there was a fire department princess, and probably a police department princess. And then they would have votes. I think you paid to vote. I've read about this because they also did a very similar thing for what they called boy mayor, and they had elections just like this. I think you paid a penny a vote, and it was a fundraising thing.
Well, I think that she probably had friends in the fire department, obviously, before she glommed on to the police department. So she was, looks to me like she was a seeker of people with the uniforms and badges and a little more money than she was used to. She was looking for the glamour, I think. The glamour of the uniform. I could be the princess. I could be from the fire department. I think that's Anna Schrader kind of in a nutshell.
Yeah. She was definitely a social climber. And she uses a lot of really extreme language, kind of immature, very, very teenager-like language.
Oh, you so-and-so, you wish you'd never been born. You so-and-so, you wish you'd never been born. You're a horse thief in your
big cities
heart.
Had corrupt cops.
Edward Trigger.
He worked for the railroad and eventually became a yardmaster she was a really sharp dresser. She could afford to do things like, when she was assaulted by Bruning, going and getting an x-ray at the Davies photography studio. So she could prove her case, which she sued him and eventually won.
$200 a month was a lot of money then.
That's true.
I think the police lieutenant had a more prestigious sound than railroad worker.
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily money though.
She was in love with the macho image.
Yeah.
I think she was in love with the uniform. Sure. You know, they're very snazzy uniforms. They looked great with their stars, you know, pinned on their uniforms.
There's something about a hired gun.
Say I'm crazy and that no sense, but I don't care.
Big cities had fun.
Anna Schrader strikes me as an alpha female, and she was looking for an alpha. Having read a lot of the police reports that I was able to get from John Krumenacher, is some really interesting police reports that go into certain details about the autopsy. Had potatoes and spinach in her stomach. Dr. Richardson believed that the torso was older than 55. Anna Schrader said she was 38 in 1929. She was about 45 or 46. She lied about her age almost her entire adult life. She could read and write very well. Probably she was educated by her mother. Insecure. And so being able to have an affair with a policeman and break up his marriage so that he would marry her, so she would become more than what she was, a big motivation on her part. Dr. Richardson describes the condition of the hair of the skull, and he describes it as the hair was styled ringlets. The hairstyle was an old-fashioned style of being shoulder length and in ringlets. You look at one of those photographs of Anna Schrader sitting in the chair with her white coat, she has shoulder length hair, and she had her hair styled with ringlets.
Tend to
stick with the one hairstyle that they most feel comfortable with. I do. It's shoulder length.
Really,
it's a
really significant thing
about these long ribbon that they found with the torso that was wrapped in this kind of, it's kind of like a kind of material of Anna Schrader sitting in the chair. In the close-up photograph, she's got these really slim ribbon-type things around her neck, almost like a decorative thing. And it makes me wonder if it wasn't some idiosyncratic thing she did. And the other thing I wonder about is, why was the torso dressed in all those layers? Torso was dressing in early April because I believe the torso was trying to get out of town to go somewhere where it was going to be really, really cold.
Sergeant Krumenacher thinks that it's not her because of the out-of-town labels in the clothes. Am I right?
Yeah. Right. Partly, you know, yes. And he made a lot of really good points, and he is a professional investigator, and I want to give him, you know, his props for that. He says the only things that matter are facts.
The reality
and that
is very
there are no facts because there are no remains.
Right.
There's nothing to really analyze. So really all we can go on are certain
that
similarities between
had
a lot
of
labels that were from
true.
Boston. I know for a fact that women who struggle financially, and she may have struggled after her husband died, more than likely she did, but she had a lot of wealthy lady friends, probably
wealthy
from the Southwest Hills, give their other lady friends who are not so wealthy
very
their used
possible
clothing. That Anna Schrader had designer clothing from Boston that she got from other ladies that lived in Portland. That doesn't necessarily rule her out as far
right.
as I'm concerned.
Right. And Don, for you, it's the coincidences.
Time between her disappearing and the body floating up, supposedly some other torso, it's just too close together. We know for a fact that somebody reported her missing because somebody went to the Oregonian and put in a private ad.
Three times.
So that somebody, I think, probably went to the Portland Police Department to report her missing. The Portland Police Department stiff-armed it and made no investigation. And I think that because Captain Jim Purcell was in charge of the detective division at that time, and he knew full well, must have known full well, what was going on with Anna Schrader and the police department. And I am convinced from having worked for the man that he absolutely would not have any of his detectives looking for Anna Schrader.
Sal sat on several murder investigations.
Yeah. Yeah.
If he didn't want them solved, they didn't.
He knew about the torso, for example.
Yeah, of course he did. And I have. It's confusing, is her name. She's called Anna, and she's called Anne. What's
right.
her name?
Her birth name is Anna Tierney.
Well, they called her Anne are not necessarily people who knew her. What struck me, and this, when I was editing that last episode, I listened
mm-hmm.
to you reading those letters from Frank Urban.
Mm-hmm.
He referred to her as Anne. The Anne
right.
in the Oregonian calls her Anne.
Right.
If her family was looking for her, wouldn't they call her Anna? So who was it? I'm trying to think of who was it who put those ads in
about,
the paper?
You know, the identity of whoever put those three ads in the paper. And they were dated April 5th, which was her birthday.
Mm-hmm.
April 12th, which was the day the torso was discovered.
The first one is on her birthday?
The second one is April 12th, which was the day the torso was discovered. And then the third one was April myself.
19th.
Maybe it was the police trying to see if someone would respond.
It's one week between each.
Right. But my feeling is it might have been one of her friends because she had a lot of friends.
Yeah.
She had friends in the fire department.
I think about it for the police to do that.
It doesn't.
Because, like I said, I'm certain that they reported her missing to the police department and Purcell and his henchmen stiff-armed it. And I'm also bothered by the fact that why did Clackamas County just suddenly abandon to a certain point and then it's abandoned.
Yeah, it's probably
the evidence disappeared.
It got cold about 1949 or 50,
yeah.
because that's when I noticed that a lot of those police reports kind of slowed down.
Yeah.
That was hard bone evidence. Why
and where
it
did
retained?
It go?
Where did it
yeah.
go?
Ryonian, and I contacted historic images, and they have absolutely nothing.
Suffice it to say that we know somebody was looking for her. Somebody knew that
yeah.
she wasn't around anymore.
Yeah.
So they put an ad in the paper. It would be irresponsible, I think, if you were a friend of hers, not to go to the police department and say, hey, you know.
Well, whoever put the ad in
the
paper.
She was probably missing for a week or two.
Mm-hmm.
So we can kind of surmise that it was probably late March that she went missing.
Yeah.
It would have been very cold.
Yeah.
And if the torso is Anna Schrader, my feeling still is that the torso wanted to get out of town.
We could find out what the weather was like at the end of March.
Yeah, in Medelia, Minnesota,
yeah.
because
uh-huh.
my feeling is
cool
she was going
not
to go
bad.
Back home. And the other thing that I discovered from the police reports is when they found one of the thighs, or maybe it was one of the arms, it was near a clump of discarded clothing. They found all of these white and pink lingerie, very fancy, something she would like.
May
have been trying to disguise herself. But the thing that's interesting about the clothing is within the clothing that was found, there was a very small bra. It was a double A. And Anna Schrader wasn't really a big-breasted woman. Slip, negligee, things like that, and they found some booties. They found some baby booties. They were pink and they were described as being in new condition. My feeling is, whoever the torso was trying to leave town to go somewhere out of state. They were going to go and see family, maybe, and they were going to go and see family that had someone that had a recent
murder. So what about unsolved murder in general? You've dealt with enough homicide investigation now. Mm-hmm. Why does a murder not get solved?
Well, I think it's a variety of factors, and most of it seems to come down to the fact that very often, at least, not always, but that there are going to be some entities who don't want to see the murder solved. And
boy, I sure be glad when you dead. You ain't no good at all. What make you so no good, eh? Listen here.
On Murder by Experts.
Murder by Experts.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Ladies and gentlemen, everywhere in America, history is under attack. Many states are attempting to make it illegal to teach history in the public schools that shows our nation in a poor light. If you are Black, Asian, Native American, a woman, poor, Latino, an immigrant, child of an immigrant, gay, working class, or middle class, you already know American history is not pretty. We must never forget that. History isn't free.
Support your local historian!
Might be quite complicated, you know, that there's not necessarily just, say, one person, but rather in the web of civic corruption that also carries over to the police force, for example.
Captain Jim Purcell was in charge of the detective division at that time, and he knew full well, must have known full well, what was going on with Anna Schrader and the police department, and I am convinced from having worked for the man that he absolutely would not have any of his detectives looking for Anna Schrader.
Right.
So, and if loyalty is worth anything to you, for God's sakes, let's put it into effect and punish the unscrupulous, disloyal man who is undermining not only you, but a few of your loyal friends who are carrying on this bitter battle, looking forward to the time when we will be relieved of her dirty, rotten talk and the guilty ones punished. Yours in confidence, Frank Irvin.
On Murder by Experts.
Murder by Experts.